confirms to us that God is a loving and a gracious God, and it really makes us feel good. God is answering my prayers. He's doing the things that I suspect him to be. He's acting like the God that I believe in. And so those are easy, and I like those kinds of prayers. But as you know, prayer is a lot more than just giving thanks to God. In fact, I've seen this acronym very helpful for me as I pray to God. The ACTS acronym, have you heard of that before as you pray? A is for adoration, our Father who art in heaven, and just recognizing the glory of God. Confession, kind of what Douglas was talking about, where we go to God and we say, man, I have sinned, please forgive me, help me to be forgiving to other people. And there we have the thanksgiving prayers. We want to make sure that we let God know that we are grateful for the ways that he has blessed our lives. And then we get to the S in this acronym, and supplication. I mean, those are interesting as well. God is asking us or invites us to bring our requests to him. And that's a pretty big deal, isn't it? I mean, God says, Todd, you can ask me for things. You can bring your requests to me. It's almost like God says, hey, I have this suggestion box, and you are welcome to give your suggestions to me. There are several scriptures that encourage us as believers to make known to God, as if he doesn't know, but to make known to God our requests, our supplications. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Philippians 4 and verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, we studied this in our 9 o'clock Bible class. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And then Jesus compares God to a loving father who says, hey, he's going to give you good things, just like you see your earthly fathers give good things to their earthly sons. And so God is inviting us. Hey, let me know what you want. Put a suggestion in the suggestion box. But the hard thing about supplications is that God doesn't always take my suggestion. He doesn't always do the things that I think that he should do. And so that bothers me. Doesn't it bother you sometimes? Don't we all struggle with this? God says, hey, ask me what you want. And then we're waiting, and there doesn't seem to be any response. It's almost like a situation where if you're in a relationship, maybe a family, maybe a husband and wife, they say, hey, where do you want to eat? And so you give a suggestion, and they say, no, let's eat there. Or what movie do you want to see? And you make a suggestion, no, I don't want to see that movie. When you keep getting rejected like that, at some point you say to yourself, why did you even ask me? You know, why did you ask me if you're not going to take my suggestions? And so don't you feel like that with God sometimes? Here he is on one hand, ask me, bring your request to me, but then on the other hand, it's like he doesn't seem to take my suggestions. So what do we do in that situation? Well, that brings us to today's parable, Luke chapter 18. The parable, you've probably heard it before, the parable of the persistent widow. So hear the words of Jesus as he addresses this situation that all believers find themselves in, bringing our requests to God, but not seeming to get a response, or at least an immediate or a timely response. So here's a story that Jesus told. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Well, let me come to you confessing that I struggle with this passage. I struggle with prayer. I struggled with unanswered prayer. I struggle with when we should give up praying for something. And so I approach this passage and I present some thoughts from Scriptures to you as someone who struggles with this, as I suppose most of us do. In fact, to me, the prayers of petition are probably the most vexing aspect of prayer. I get the adoration. You know, I know how great God is. I'm learning more and more every day how great God is. I get the confession. I know that I've sinned and I need to lay those out before my Father. And I get the thanksgiving. Those are the ones I like the most. The ACT, yeah, it kind of makes sense to me, but the S, I have to admit, is very vexing. So all of us, I have felt like this widow. And so if you are struggling with unanswered prayer and you're struggling with this passage and you're struggling with this invitation that God gives to us to let us present our requests to him, but it seems like he's not listening, you're in good company. We have all, I would believe, feel this way. So why doesn't God answer our prayers? Let's just think about this. Let me share with you some things that have been helpful to me as I struggle through this vexing and complicated discipline, spiritual discipline that we call prayer. So this has been helpful for me. I think this is from a book called Too Busy Not to Pray. It's an older book now, but these suggestions have been helpful to me. When the request is not right, God says no. And so sometimes as I bring my request to God, it may not be in the will of God. And I need to recognize that. I need to know that some suggestions that I put into God's suggestion box are very selfish and are not in line with God's will, that it represents a misunderstanding that I have about who God is and about what God is doing on this planet, on this earth. And so when God says no, sometimes I have to be introspective and just say to myself, hey, maybe I am off base. Maybe this prayer is not in line with the will of God. When the timing is not right, God may say slow. And so maybe I have given this request to God and maybe it's within his will, but it's just not the right time. I mean, for whatever reason, some other things have to happen. I have to realize that God has a lot of moving pieces going on down here on planet Earth, and it's not all about me. And so maybe some other things have to fall into place before he's going to answer my prayer. And so maybe I just need to step back and give God time to act in his perfect timing rather than in my timing. And to know that a delay is not necessarily a denial. When the request and the timing are right, but you're not right, God says grow. And so maybe I have presented a request to God that is within his will, and maybe the timing is right, but maybe there's something in me that I'm not ready for God to answer that prayer. And so maybe I need to grow, maybe I need to mature, maybe I need to come into a greater understanding of his will, who he is, who I am, or relationships with other people. And so maybe as God is holding back to give me an opportunity to mature and to grow in my faith. And then when the request is right and the timing's right and you're right, then God says go, and that's what we're waiting for, aren't we? And then we celebrate and we thank God for answering that prayer. Thank God for his intervention. You know, I've realized also that prayer is more than just presenting God a to-do list. Prayer should lead us into thoughtfulness. And that's sometimes I do that. All right, I got all my lists. I'm just going to throw them all against the wall. I'm going to see which one sticks, you know, one after another. And I don't even really think about it. And I think this parable is calling us to be thoughtful in our prayers and not just throw out this wild list to God. And I need to recognize that prayer is hard. It's difficult. Communication is difficult with anyone that you're in a relationship with. To truly know that person and understand that person, then it takes a lot of time. And so as I wrestle with prayer, and as you wrestle with prayer, I would say maybe that's a good thing because you recognize that it's difficult. Recognize that only through these difficult conversations with God am I really going to deepen that relationship with Him. You know, and sometimes I find myself in a situation where I'm not really even sure what to ask for. You know, I don't even know. I'm not even sure what's going on in my own heart. I don't know what God's will is. And so we're just confused. And I find strength in this passage. You know this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Because Paul, a very faithful, a very committed, a very in touch with God type of person, he writes this. He says, in the same way as we struggle with this injustice in the world, as we struggle with prayers not being answered, as we struggle with being persecuted for being a Christian, which doesn't make sense to us, why wouldn't God just bless us? As we struggle with this anticipation of the second coming of Christ, as we go through all of this angst and anxiety that is accompanying us as believers in God, he says, in the same way, there's this spirit, and I don't understand how he's working, but there's a spirit that is helping us in our weaknesses. And then listen to Paul. If I struggle with this, Paul is struggling with this. It seems as if Jesus even struggled with this. Not my will, but yours be done. So Paul says, we don't even know what we should pray for. Yeah, have you ever been in that situation? Amen. Thank you. We've all been in that situation where we're not even sure, but the Spirit is going to intercede for us through these groans. He searches our hearts, the one who knows the mind of the Spirit. And so the Spirit is going to take our jumbled up mess of prayers and just our confusion and our struggles and all of the anxieties and fears and unknowns that we have, and we just say, all right, I don't understand, but Spirit, please communicate to God the Father what's going on in my heart that I can't even understand and what peace that brings me. So when I pray, when we pray, we want to make sure, at least we want to be thoughtful. Is this prayer within God's will? And for me, and I believe for many people who struggle in this, unanswered prayers oftentimes cause us to evaluate our motives. Why am I really praying for this? Why isn't it happening? Is there something I need to know? Is there something I need to grow in? And I also have to confess that as I go through this process of unanswered prayer, those are the times in my life that I am deepest in prayer. Do you see that in your life as well? Yeah, it's like if you just say and God answers, sometimes we forget to pray. But when you struggle with that request, that seems to drive me into even deeper and passionate prayer with God. Also, another passage that's instructive as we go through this is that sometimes our prayers can change. You know the story about Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12? I mean, Paul had a lot to be proud about. He talks about these visions that he had. We don't even know what he's talking about. We don't know the experiences that he had, but he describes these experiences. And so he says, I've had this thorn in the flesh. We don't even know what that is. That's a mystery. We don't know. I mean, there's lots of different. Google it, thorn in the flesh. You'll get a dozen at least different possibilities of what that is. But there was something about Paul. There was something, it seems like it's a physical ailment that he's dealing with, is my conclusion. There was something about him that he thought that he would be better off without. And so he prayed, God, take away this thorn in the flesh. Maybe he didn't identify it so that we can all identify with him. But I've got this thorn in the flesh. He says, I've prayed three times. And really, I don't even know if it means I've prayed three times. This may be an idiom, a Jewish or a Hebrew idiom. Just I prayed over and over and over and over. I tend to believe that that's what he means. I prayed over and over and over for this thorn in the flesh to be removed. But God didn't answer that prayer. But in not answering that prayer, he provided me something even better, or provided me an opportunity to rely on his grace and not become conceited. And so God gave me something, what I needed, rather than what I thought that I needed. And so at some point, Paul's prayer kind of, he changes. He doesn't stop praying. But his prayer changes from removing this flesh to help me understand the weakness that I'm experiencing and how I'm so reliant and how I need your power in my life and how I need grace. And so sometimes I need to recognize that my prayers may need to be adjusted as I hear from God. But prayer should be an expression of faith. It always should be an expression of faith. In James's letter, he says, you make all these plans. I'm going to go here, there, and I'm going to do this and that. But you really need to pray if it's God's will. And I find myself giving God directions. God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Bless it. Rather than, God, help me to know what you want me to do. And then help me to follow that path and bless it. And so that informs my prayers as well. Daniel chapter 3, 16 to 18. You know this story too. I mean, there's so much. I mean, there's so much about prayer in the Bible and so much of this struggle. But Daniel chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the king says, hey, you bow down and worship this statue, or I'm going to throw you into this fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are firm believers in God, the one true God, they're not going to do it. And so it's the fiery furnace for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But then hear their response to King Nebuchadnezzar. We don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. So on one hand, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, I know what God wants. I know what God can do, and he's going to deliver us. But then just like us, but even if he does not, even if he does not answer the prayer like I want it to be answered, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And this has to inform our prayers that even if God has something different in store for us, we will not stop worshiping him. All right, so I've taken you all over the Bible, haven't I? Let's get back to the parable in Luke chapter 18. So why does Jesus give this parable? Well, he says right at the beginning, because he knows. He knows his disciples are going to struggle. He knows that we are going to struggle. And he knows there are going to be times in our life where we are going to want to give up. And so he says, I'm going to tell you this parable because I don't want you to get to that point. I don't ever want you to stop praying. I don't want you to become discouraged. I don't want you to give up. So if nothing else, Jesus is encouraging us here to not stop praying. And it's comforting to me to know that God doesn't seem to be bothered by our persistence. We can't give up. We pray through the rejections. We pray through the confusion, but we are not going to give up. We're not going to come to the conclusion that God is evil. We're not going to come to the conclusion that God is deaf. We're not going to come to the conclusion that God is unjust. We are going to continue to believe that God is good, that God hears, and that God is just, and believe that he will bring justice. You've heard the expression, and there's a lot of truth in this expression, justice delayed is justice denied. Well, maybe it's also true in relation to our prayer and how God responds to those. Justice delayed is mercy displayed. 2 Peter chapter 3, 8, 9 says, don't forget about this, friends. This is so hard, isn't it? We want God for a day to be a day, you know? We want quick to mean quick. We want his calendar to be our calendar, but Peter reminds us that that's not true. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So there may be something about these prayers that are not being immediately answered, that this justice delayed is mercy displayed, is that God has something in store in the life of someone else to bring them into a saving relationship. But we have to be confident in God's timing and confident in his wisdom. I like how Jesus ends this parable in verse 8. He says, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. And then he says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So he's going to find people praying. And I need to say to myself that the goal is not to get everything that I want when I want it. The goal is to keep praying and to remain faithful. Let me share these wise words from John Piper. He says, so this parable is intended to be an encouragement for us to pray continually until Jesus comes back. When Jesus asks at the end of verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? He means, will the Son of Man find that his disciples have kept praying, or have they lost heart and given up? So the implication seems to be prayer and faith stand and fall together. If we lose heart and drift away from prayer, then the Son of Man will not find faith in us when he comes. Faith is the furnace of our lives. Its fuel is the grace of God, and the divinely appointed shovel for feeding the burner is prayer. If you lose heart and lay down the shovel, the fire will go out. You will grow cold and hard. Keep praying. Just keep praying. Keep praying. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? Just keep praying, how important it is to continue that conversation with God and how vital it is, how closely tied it is to our faith. Let me end with this poem I ran across. It was a couple of weeks ago. It's good timing that I ran across this. And it's not scripture, and I don't even know the person who wrote it. I've got a name here. Tara Elness is the person's name who wrote this, but it seemed encouraging to me, and I wanted to share it with you. The little poem is called Ask Him Again. I know, you've already asked him a million times. I see those eyes rolling, but today ask him a million and one. Yes, ask him again. Ask him again for that child to come home, that marriage to be healed, that mountain to move. Ask him again for that friendship to mend, that work to begin, that end of the tunnel light to appear. Ask him again for the one who needs rescue, the one who needs healing, the one who needs new direction, new guidance, new focus, even if that one is you. Ask him again for what you need, for what you want, for joy in the sorrow, help in the struggle, a sip of living water in the heat of your schedule, and the time to just sit at the well. Ask him again. Ask him again to provide springs in your land. And while you're at it, give thanks for that land, no matter how dry it is now, knowing he's given it to you with good purpose. Yes, ask him again. Ask him again to dig up the soil and plant the seeds. Ask him again to stir up and settle, make and remake, pour out his peace that passes all understanding, because frankly, you could use a hefty dose about now. Ask him again for all that seems lost and all that seems nowhere even near the city of possible, and ask him believing he can. Yes, ask him again. Not because you don't think he heard you the first million times, but because you are realizing the longer you truly live, that persistence is a pretty strong faith builder. Not to mention how close it keeps you to him for whom all things are possible and nothing is too hard. And because faith-based strength to persevere and closeness with your Creator is really what you need. Ask him again. With fresh eyes and a renewed spirit and a passionate resolve that he can. And if it's his will, he will. And if it's not, you will keep on asking. You will keep on seeking. You will keep on believing. Because persistent faith is where it's at. It fastens its gaze on hope. The hope that is always three steps, Father, Son, Holy Spirit ahead, providing the perfect focal point. Yes. And it never disappoints. So today, bow low, look up, and ask him again. I'll repeat, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know how God works. But I know he wants to hear from you. And I know he hears you. I know it. I know he loves you. So keep the faith. Keep praying. Because once you let go of that prayer, in a sense, you're letting God just slip through your hands. And we all know how desperately we need him, don't we? We need a God who confuses us. We need a God who doesn't answer us when we want him to answer. We need a God who has a different calendar than we have. We need a God who is wiser than we are. And prayer is that constant reminder that, God, I need you in my life. If you've given up on prayer, man, let me just encourage you. You can't give up on prayer. And if you're just a Thanksgiving prayer, you just a moment high-fiving God, I mean, that's fine. God wants to be high-fived. But God really wants you to get deep into prayer. And so if you don't have that discipline of just pouring your heart out to God, then let me encourage you. That's going to be a blessing. No matter how things work out, that's going to be a blessing in your life. If you don't, some people don't believe in God for this one reason, is because he doesn't seem to act in the way that we want him to act. Man, if you don't have God, then you really don't have anything. So if you're not a believer, then let me encourage you to seek him out. To seek him out as he has sought you out as well. We're going to sing the song, just a reminder that we need God. So say it again, don't give up praying. Don't give up. Let's stand and sing.